Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. May 22nd, NFL's in town. NFL meetings are going to be taking place today and tomorrow. They actually kind of began yesterday. All the big wigs are in Buckhead, Roger Goodell, and all the owners, et cetera, voting on a lot of things, and we'll get into that as we go along throughout the show today. I'm expecting a lot of potential news and whatnot. But, of course, around here, OTAs happen to be going on for the Falcons. Now, a couple of things that you need to know here as we get it back into the discussion. Number one is that these OTAs that are taking place at Flowery Branch are, in fact, voluntary. All right? So, I mean, voluntary means voluntary. However, that's the other thing you need to know. Voluntary doesn't necessarily mean voluntary because we kind of want you to volunteer to be part of the team. While they're voluntary, I mean, guys kind of will, I don't know you, they'll kind of go, wait a second now. I mean.
All depends on who you are. OTAs, most guys go to OTAs. I know it's voluntary, but you go. You go. It's one of those things where it's the wink and the nod, if you will, that you don't have to be there, but it's good if you are, because those are quality reps. Those are considered reps. You know, even though they're not mandatory reps, they're reps. Because the league has changed so much that the players negotiated that they have more time off, so then they put in these OTAs, and again, it's like a wink and a nod. To say, hey, you got to come to these OTAs and be with the rest of the squad.
Well, okay, so, and they're voluntary, and you know Julio Jones is not there. He's in Alabama. Now, understand one thing. We have had so much talk in this town about Julio Jones over the last 48 hours, about, his contract, well, last 72, I think, about his contract and whether he wants more money. He's hanging out in Alabama. There are a few things you need to know. Number one is, according to the Falcons, Julio and Dan Quinn are in contact on a daily basis, okay? I mean, it's not like they're ignoring each other or they're out of sight, out of mind, or anything like that. They're talking all the time. Now, that's number one. Number two, Falcons have said publicly, and I believe them, that they don't have any problem that Julio's not here and he's working on his own. They trust he's going to be here. Again, if it's mandatory minicamp, it's June, it's a different story. The guy that broke the story and the only guy so far that has the story is Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network. Now, yesterday, Dukes of Bell got Ian Rapoport on the phone to talk about this. Again, this is the guy, and when we tell you to follow, national media guys, I think, it comes to a couple, Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport, who are in terms of pro football, right at the top of the list. Of course, locally, you'd want to follow. But Ian Rapoport on Dukes and Bell yesterday talking about Julio and the Falcons.
I don't think anything is wrong with Julio, okay? I mean, I think Julio's fine. I think in the Falcons organization, he's still the guy. He's still the dude. I don't think this paints him in a negative light at all. I think this kind of just makes him like the rest of us. I mean, remember, he signed a contract, a really good contract when he signed it, but it was one of the earliest of the good receiver contracts. You know, it was A.J. Green signed after him, for instance. So when you sign earliest, you get the least because you're first. You know, he's made his message clear in a pretty professional way. No one's angry at him. He just wants what he deserves, and the thing about it is he really does deserve it.
All right, so let's stress that first here. Rapoport says the thing about it is he does deserve it. Julio is the eighth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, eighth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. The negatives, of course, that big drop against Carolina last year, only three touchdowns, but you have to believe, I think, you, that that's going to be replicated again this year. I don't. I think he's going to get a lot more opportunities. I think the whole point of drafting Calvin Ridley was to create a Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones trifecta out there in the wideouts for Matt Ryan.
Yeah, but again, I think I commend the Atlanta Falcons for being a stand-up organization and saying, okay, fine, we will give you some more money. Because, John, I've been on a few teams where, you know, you guys start talking about getting some more money, and they looked at like, huh? And it's a real back and forth. It's so much so that there's even talk of guys getting, you know, getting cut and getting traded and things like that. So I commend the Atlanta Falcons for being an organization that instead of doing something like that, they're willing to renegotiate. But, again, I say that even though Julio has put up monster numbers in his career, last year was a little bit of a hiccup. I mean, it was a little bit of a hiccup for his production. You know, 3 touchdowns. And, you know, he still got voted to the Pro Bowl because you know his value. I just think that for him and his timing, it was just a little off. But like Ian said, nobody's upset about it. It's not like it's a big to-do. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to get done. It's going to get done.
Rappaport also told Dukes and Bell that this is not a shock. You know, everybody treated Julio wants a new contract as if it was a revelation, because according to Rappaport, the Falcons knew this for quite some time.
Julio probably knew what he wanted, and the Falcons knew what he wanted before the Matt Ryan contract got done. But to me, it's sort of like you pay one, you're probably going to end up paying the other. And you know, one of the things I checked with before I had this report was, you know, what do the Falcons think about this? And, you know, it's not like I got a, yeah, we're definitely going to give him whatever he wants. But it was like, you know, because Julio's as respected as he is, that's definitely something we'll look at, which was a step in the right direction.
All right, one more from Rappaport on Dukes of Bell yesterday, talking about some of the options that the team and Julio might have.
They can do what the Steelers did with Antonio Brown, move, not give him more money, but move some money forward, kind of in advance of an extension. That's the thing. They could do what the Patriots did with Gronkowski and give him incentives, you know, hard incentives, but like, you know, for Gronk, it was, I think, $5 million if he was an all-pro, and he was an all-pro, so we got it. There's definitely things they can do.
Yeah, there are definitely things that they can do. And I think, by the way, the deal will be not only something that Julio likes, but it'll be more cap-friendly for the Atlanta Falcons, so I think it works out for both sides, and it'll be a better deal. Just a couple of things here. You know, you go back to just – if you just use last year's numbers, and people can sit here, and rightfully so, and say the offense wasn't very productive last year, especially considering the record-shattering offense they had in 2016. All true, all right, by the way. But let's keep this in mind when we talk about Matt Ryan getting a new deal, when we talk about – and of course he did. And then right now at the moment, highest-paid player in the history of the NFL, until that'll change with Aaron Rodgers and maybe Tom Brady. But also with Julio possibly getting a deal that might make him one of the highest, if not the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Yes, the number production last year was down for both. However, it wasn't like it was down according to other players in the NFL. Julio was still second in the NFL in receiving yards, second to Antonio Brown in receiving yards, over 1,400 yards receiving last year. And Matt Ryan finished as Pro Football Focus did its numbers, and Matt Ryan finished as the second highest graded quarterback in the NFL behind only Tom Brady.
Yeah, but John, you're missing the point that their numbers were down from a bar that they set for themselves. And normally when you're negotiating, I mean, let's not forget now that Julio Jones did remove his Atlanta Falcons pictures from social media.
If that's isn't that the issue though? Isn't that
big
issue?
No, but my thing is this, we're trying to soft sell this, but And Ian Rappaport basically said that, you know, the Falcons aren't upset. But somebody was upset, because before this story even came out, there was speculation about his social media account and why did Julio take down his Atlanta Falcons pictures and all this other stuff. So this I don't think this went as smooth as we're led to believe. I think it's smooth now because you don't want that drama. You don't want that smoke. But I don't think it was going smooth in the beginning. It couldn't have been. Because Julio Jones fired the first salvo when we start talking about the social media post or the social media post that was taken down. And then all of a sudden, we're trying to tell everybody, oh, it's not that big a deal. And then come to find out a few weeks later, it is a big deal. And now we're hearing that everybody's kumbaya and it's okay. Let's not forget. I mean, listen, Julio Jones is a Hall of Fame receiver. But in the world of the NFL, you don't get new contracts after coming off a season like he had last year. Not with 3 touchdowns. You just don't. And that's why I'll say again, God bless Julio Jones and the respect that he has in the NFL and with the Atlanta Falcons. because for them to sit down and basically say we're going to renegotiate this contract, I commend them for that, because normally that would not happen in the NFL. That would not happen, and that's a fact. Not after the year, not after the year that you had. Now, granted, your reception, your numbers were high, but that touchdown number, that's an issue. The fact that on key drives and during games that you went on the field, that would be an issue. The fact that you dropped that pass in Carolina, that would be an issue. So I commend the Falcons for stepping up and being a stand-up organization. And regardless to all of that other stuff that happened, that they're willing to sit down and renegotiate his contract or move some money around for him.
Well, I mean, again, what are your options? Your options are to trade him, right? You could do that. Trade him for what? I mean, trade him to who? You're not going to trade him, all right? So that's not really an option. I guess you could cut him. You could just force him to work for the contract that he has, or you can kind of rework him. I mean, you've got limited options with Julio. I mean, I ask you to think about this in your car if you're a Falcons fan. What would you do with him? Would you force him to work under the contract that he has? You could do that, and if he's a no-show or he pouts or something, and you have a chance. See, I believe strongly that, and I think Falcon management believes this too, I think this team is the Falcons had a bad offseason. What are you talking about? The Falcons, I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year. I think anything less than the Super Bowl is a grand disappointment. I think this is a Super Bowl caliber team right now, but it's a Super Bowl caliber team with Julio Jones.
And that's probably why they're willing to negotiate. But let's not forget, man, that something happened. Like, something happened, and we're all kumbaya and trying to make it like, you know, everything is cool. Something wasn't cool. Somewhere along the line, something was not cool because he did what he did. And now, I don't know, because this is one of those stories that if you ask about it or talk about it, everybody's going to say everything was cool. Something wasn't cool. Something was not cool. Something was not cool. And I give a shout out to my boy Randy Mack, because he called it first. He's like, man, he wants some more money. He wants more money, when he deleted all those pictures on social media. Something happened, and now I guess the Falcons are like, hey, you know what? There's no need to do this. There's no need for this to get to this, because we are on the cusp of doing something great. So let's go ahead and make him happy and keep it moving.
Which is all I can hope for, because, again, this is why you drafted. You know, some people on social media are saying, well, you know, you drafted Calvin Ridley. That was a statement to Julio. You know, we're gonna move on from you. No. So that's a statement. The whole point of drafting Calvin Ridley again was to put Ridley with Julio and Mohamed Sanu to free, you know, some of the double coverage up, because now you can get maybe, a little bit more space. One of the things to keep in mind here is that, you know, in the red zone, Julio was double covered. There were times he was triple covered. Every team was going to take Julio out of the action. That was goal priority number one of defending the Atlanta Falcons when Julio Jones is on the field is what? Take out number 11, correct? That's priority number one. And so that's priority number one of everybody. He's had to deal with that ever since probably his second or third year, once Roddy White kind of started to fade into the background. He has become the focal point of stopping the Atlanta Falcons.
I tell you what, though. My man Jay, the last Boy Scout, just tweeted me and said, only three TDs, Julio, how much of that was attributed to the offensive line play calling and not going downfield as much as they did with Shanahan? That's a valid argument. But when LeBron James had 15 points the other night against the Boston Celtics, nobody was talking about how they were defending him. LeBron James is the best player on the planet. Most times when Julio Jones is on the field, he's the best player on the field. There is no excuses. There is no excuses when you are the best player on the field. You have to find a way to get it done.
Hey, listen, the Falcons are going to redo his contract. And when they redo his contract, Hugh, I think that it's fair that we look at Julio slightly differently and hold him to an even higher standard. I mean, we already held him to
a high standard.
I understand. But, you know, now if you're going to make a stink, you know, up until this point in his career, he's been a Falcon for 7 years. Has there been, and Bo, you would help me out on this, has there been a moment where we had any issue with Julio? Did I miss an issue? Have we had one? I don't think we've had one.
No, I don't think there's been an issue with Julio. And for what we're being told, this is not an issue. He just wants to get paid, and they're willing to pay him, or they're willing to talk to him about it. So, you know, there you have it.
It's time for you to get paid right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
year, Y-E-A-R. Year, you'll have till 7:59 to text the word year to 72881. That's year, Y-E-A-R, to 72881. Do not text and drive. Message or data rates may apply. Text YEAR, Y-E-A-R, to 72881. If you win $1,000, you're going to be talking about it for the next year. YEAR to 72881. That is the code word for this hour, and hopefully you get a signing bonus of $1,000, and you just renegotiated with us, and you didn't even have to take anything off your social media to get that done. Okay? Go ahead and say it. That's what I'm saying. I guess in the end here, I'm not worried about this. I think that that's going to get done. I think Julio will be there next month at the mandatory minicamp. At least I hope I'm right.
If I'm not, I'm going to be really sad. That does not surprise me, John, that you're not worried. I mean, that really doesn't. And that is it.
Should I be?
I think, listen, we are being told that this is not a big deal. There's something there. There's something there. I think we'd be kind of naive to think that there wasn't something. I mean, honestly, even with what Ian Rappaport said, there was something there. Because you just don't do things like that, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything. I think this is a fire putter outer situation. Putting out fires before they get started.
Well, if you're one of the fans who believes that because Julio is not in Flowery Branch right now for voluntary OTAs, that the Falcons ought to immediately trade Julio, then I have three more stars that I'm going to list to you in a moment that you need to call for them to be immediately traded because they're not at their OTAs. They skip it out on those two. You let me know.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's National Signing Bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome to all of you, you bigwigs that might be up this morning getting ready for your day ahead. All those big meetings taking place in Buckhead from the National Football League. John and Hugh on the morning show on the Falcons flagship station, 92.9 The Game. I just wanted to give that little knowledge to you. So if you're an NFL executive listening to us, you know where we're coming from here. So the Falcons, of course, are making a lot of news with Julio Jones right now with OTAs going on at Flowery Branch, yada, yada, yada. I mentioned that, Julio Hugh Douglas, not the only guy who is skipping out OTAs. And let me give you three more, and you can pick from this list. Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, Le'Veon Bell.
All of the above.
All of the above. Should we trade them? I think we should trade them. Brady's skipping out on OTAs. Boy, you want to talk about you think Julio's a complex situation? Good Lord, Hugh Douglas, that Tom Brady is a complicated situation. How much does he want? I mean, does he want to be the highest paid guy?
I honestly don't. I don't know. I haven't seen in the story with the OTAs anything that Tom Brady has said about money. So I don't know if that's the motivating factor. The thing about this is interesting because Tom Brady was one of the biggest guys that came out and said that, you know, how important OTAs are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, four players to be there, and this is the first one that he's missed. So he's kind of like, he's kind of like put his foot in the mouth. I guess you could say that. But as far as the money he's asking for, I don't know if that's the case. I think this is more of a people are looking at this like a cold war between him and Coach Belichick,
right?
And everything that had happened or went on during the course of the season last year with his trainer being kicked out of the building and everything of that nature. So I don't know if this one is motivated by money. As far as with Gronk, the same thing. Now Le'Veon Bell's obviously we know that's the one that's money driven. So I don't know if these two players it's the same thing.
Yeah, and it'll be we're talking about two different organizations here in the Steelers. Well, obviously, John, but in the Steelers, you're talking about an organization that has had three head coaches since like 1960 something, right? I mean, three. It is an organization bound and steeped in tradition, maybe more so than any other professional sports organization. Maybe so. The Steelers might be the most tradition-bound, and it's worked for them. I mean, the six Super Bowls, come on, it's worked for them. And so they're not about to leave everything that made the Steelers the Steelers. To that end, I don't see much of a budging from the Steelers. I think the Steelers will put their foot down and say, we are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you will bend to us, or you know what? We'll figure out something else.
I agree with that. And it's kind of, I mean, but that's really, John, they've handled Le'Veon Bell like this for a minute now. I mean, this has been going on with him for a minute now, and they haven't come to an impasse. They haven't come to a solution yet with him and his contract situation. So it looks like this potentially could be another situation or another year where Le'Veon Bell is going to play for the what they give the franchise players if they decide to franchise.
Mm-hmm. They tag him, right? I mean, here we go again with this. As for Brady, you're right. I'm going to go back to this for a moment. Set Gronk aside for a second. Gronk, who knows? I mean, Gronk was going to retire. He's going to unretire. You know, I mean, Gronk is just being Gronk. I don't think anybody worries too much about that if you're a Patriots fan. It'd be great if he's there. If he retires, there's not much you can do about it, so you can't really overly be concerned about it. You'd like to have him, but it's nothing you can get out of your control. Brady is a different story. How much of this whole TB12 thing is playing into this? Because I think you know, that's a great description, Hugh. I'm going to start using it, Cold War, between him and the hoodie, because that's exactly what's taking place here.
There's a Cold War. It's out of character for Tom Brady to not be there. I think since he's been in the NFL, he has never skipped OTAs, never. And this is the first time that he's done it. And then the timing is just kind of, you know, peculiar because of everything that happened last year. So it leads people to speculate whether or not, you know, him and Coach Belichick are on good terms. But Tom Brady has already committed to the 2018 season. He just hasn't committed to the offseason workout.
Yeah, I don't think that's, probably not a whole lot of concern. I mean, is Tom Brady going to be the quarterback on opening day? Yes. How much of this does it affect them? That's a different story.
I think it does, John. Especially when you have the quarterback that's not there for OTAs. Like, coaches would love to have everybody there for OTAs. I mean, that's in a perfect world. They understand, and there's really nothing they can do when players don't decide to come. But when you have organized team activities, that's basically practice. And if you're running first team, you don't want to run first team with your second string quarterback, because the timing's off for your offense.
Mm-hmm.
And when Tom Brady's not there, and they do have to come in for the mandatory stuff, they're a little bit behind the eight ball because everybody else is up to speed with the plays and they've had this terminology and everybody's, you know, on the same page that was there. But the quarterback, you got to get the quarterback up to speed. Now, granted, probably the same offense that he's ran forever, so it's not like he's going to be that far behind. But – you know, when you're talking about timing and, you know, just getting the feel for the game, once again, since you've been off for so long, there's a little bit of learning curve that goes along with that, along with receivers and quarterbacks. You know, just like with Julio Jones not being at OTAs, him and Matt Ryan aren't getting that quality work. But, you know, you let some people tell it that, you know each other well enough that you don't really need all that work. But I think it's imperative that you're there at OTAs for some of them. At least get some of that work in, because with the way that the NFL is set up nowadays and you don't have that many practices, all of these times that you spend together as a unit, they really count. They really, really count.
By the way, the backup quarterbacks for the Patriots are Brian Hoyer and former Purdue LSU quarterback Danny Etling.
So you got Brian Hoyer out there running the first squad.
Yep.
Throwing the timing off and just doing whatever Brian Hoyer does that's not like Tom Brady.
Yep.
And Gronk's not there. If between the two, I would rather have Tom Brady there than Gronkowski. I mean, between the two. Like, real talk. If I had to toss up between the two that I wanted at camp, I would rather have my quarterback there than my tight end.
Yeah, especially if we're not even certain that the tight end's going to play. I mean, I can see where, by the way, if let's say that Giselle's behind the scenes here, you know, pulling all the strings, okay, because it wouldn't be inconceivable that would happen. But if she is, you know what, that Tom Brady wants to be, we don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to get. That's a question we'll have for Joel Corey at the top of the hour when he joins us, a contract expert in the NFL. And, you know, what is Aaron Rodgers going to get, $32, $34 million a year? If she says to Tom, look, you need to be, for once, you need to say, I'm Tom Brady, and I need to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. I don't blame her for saying that, because if I'm Tom Brady, I would probably say the same thing. I'm not just the best player in the league. I'm the best player in the history of the game. Pay me. I can't blame him. What's the argument against that?
I mean, there is none. There's none at all, but I don't think that's the Patriot way. I don't know whether or not that's what's driving Tom Brady. Tom Brady gonna make bread regardless, John. Tom Brady has made a ton of money in his career. Now, for him to hold the team hostage like that, I'm pretty sure with his relationship with Bob Kraft that they would basically give him what he wanted. But I don't know if Coach Belichick would be down for that. He has a certain way he likes to do things. And this might be, if that's what motivates Tom Brady, this might be the end of this relationship. If he decides to strong arm him like that, it might be the end of it.
All right, we'll see what happens in New England. We'll monitor this situation up in Foxborough very closely for you. And now, of course, the NFL's meetings are here in town. We mentioned that. And today we expect, today and tomorrow, a lot of news to break out of these NFL meetings. And I don't think it's going to be anything. It could be something we don't expect, but I don't believe so. We could hear today that Nashville, in fact, has the next NFL draft. We could hear that they have, in fact, voted to approve the sale of the Carolina Panthers. I think those are both probably going to happen today. Also, kickoffs could be changed, and that'll happen today or tomorrow. They'll officially change the rules on the kickoff, and that'll be iced in stone. And so I think there'll be a lot of rubber stamping going on. They've had a lot of discussions in these meetings with the Rules Committee and the Competition Committee over the last 3-4 months here. So I expect we'll see a lot of that happen from these meetings. If there's a surprise, it'll be a surprise, I guess. As to one of the things, like, for example, yesterday, they just voted on two new Super Bowls. Arizona's going to get Super Bowl 57 in 2023, and Super Bowl 58 in 2024 will go to... So you'll have here this year, that's 53, right, Hugh? Miami will get 54. Tampa, 55. Los Angeles, 56 in that new stadium out there. Glendale in 57 and down in Swamp in 58. And I would think that Atlanta would be back in the Super Bowl rotation not long after that. So if we're looking at 2019, I think by 2026, 2027, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe it's a possibility.
You could have another Super Bowl.
It all depends on how this one goes, though, John, because the last one that they had here was disaster.
Well, that was the weather.
But it was still a disaster.
I mean, you can't help that. Oh. We had an ice storm hit,
but
so all of a sudden.
It was still a disaster. I mean, I'm not arguing the fact that the weather was a Debbie Downer, but it was a disaster. It really was. Well, it put a damper on everything.
That's why they said, I think you need a new stadium. And so, I mean, I would imagine that Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to be a hell of a showpiece for them. You know, I'm just thinking. So we'll have the Super Bowl. That, by the way, is another part of this NFL spring meetings. Is all the discussion and all the tours. A lot of these owners are taking tours in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the commissioner and the Super Bowl committees are all together this week talking about venues and
stealing ideas, taking ideas of the bins, trying to build their new stadium or, you know, stuff like that. Probably going to even try to take the whole unlimited soda concept, $2 unlimited soda concept. They're going to take that.
And by the way, that's a good point. I would imagine the folks that represent the Super Bowl committee in Miami, which is the next Super Bowl, probably here this week too. Because Atlanta did that last year, and went and scouted Super Bowls just to make sure that they had not missed anything and minded all their P's and Q's. Even for a city like Miami or Atlanta, which has hosted multiple Super Bowls before, you also want to make sure that, things change in covering and hosting a Super Bowl. All right, in a moment, if you are an Atlanta United fan and you hate Orlando City, I got more reason for you to go, yeah, we hate Orlando City. I got that next. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay, let's do it.
We're giving away $250,000.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hear this.
Hey, did you hear this?
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Have to explain this to people who've never been to Atlanta United. Get your clap on, your ATL, your Viking clap, because if you've never been to Atlanta United, you don't know, even though they've been struggling a little bit, scuffling a little bit at home lately, about what you can expect as far as an environment. You do know what you can get when you go to Orlando City for a soccer game. Did you hear this about Atlanta? Now you know that Orlando City was fined by MLS for the mass altercation toward the end of the game. That Will Johnson of Orlando City, when he took the fake dive, he was penalized and fined for that because it was such a bad fake dive, and then he got up and complained like a little, anyway, there's more that's fallout from this game. You have this happened yesterday. Orlando City took it upon itself, Hugh. They have suspended 38 fans. They went through all the video and identified 38 fans who were involved in an incident that included all the trash being thrown on the field, on the pitch during the game on May 13th, and they have suspended all 38 fans for at least 1 year. Here is the CEO of Orlando City, Alex Letao.
Let me start saying that in the end of the day, I take responsibility for what happened here in our game, our last home game against Atlanta. One of the points of proud, not only for us as a club, but I believe from our fans, the entire community, our front office, is this stadium. We are very proud of this house, our home. I was very, very sad, to say the minimum, to see our stadium turning into a trash can.
Yeah, and it did turn into a trash can. And who was it? Which Atlanta United player said one of the bottles that was thrown here was an unopened bottle of Dasani. He picked it up, he opened it up, said I was thirsty. So I had it. I drank it. Well, that's a little, isn't that kind of funny? You know what you can, how hurt you can get? If somebody chucks a bottle of Dasani at you from the 50th row.
Oh, you get hit in the face. You get hit in the face with a bottle of water, a full bottle of water. That's not a pleasant time. No question about that.
So 38 fans identified.
38?
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And they kicked them out for like a year right. to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people.
Well, also goes to, they say they're going to notify the 38, Hugh, by registered mail, okay? Now stop and think about that.
Oh, so they don't actually know they're kicked out yet.
Right.
But my thing is this, in this day and age, you have to assume that everywhere that you go nowadays that you're being watched by somebody, some closed circuit camera somewhere. So why would you go to the game and act a donkey like that? I mean, I understand you're upset for the outcome of the game because that was a little bit of a chippy game against Orlando and Atlanta United. But why would you throw stuff on the pitch and then not only that, not know that it's a good chance that probably somebody can see you because it's being televised?
Well, doesn't it make you freak out a little bit, though, that, I mean, here they go in and they take the video, right? And then they just ID somebody and they put the little box around them and it says
this facial is recognition.
Yeah, facial recognition. They know who you are.
That to me is like, you know, and you hear me getting all political or whatever, but you remember like a few weeks ago, Facebook got in trouble for all the information that they gave away and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been using facial recognition for a while now. Like that has been going on for a while, and it's bananas that people still do stuff and think that, you know, oh, I'm not going to get caught.
Yeah, tag me in your photo, right? I mean, tag these people in your photo.
Yeah, I mean, it's with so many different social media outlets. You are not that hard to find. Like, really, if somebody really wanted to find you, they can find you. They can find your address. All they got to do is post pictures. And somebody knows who you are that looks at social media frequently. So, yeah, that's not, you're
so
not that bright.
In this news conference yesterday, there was one other little element. Orlando City said they're going to immediately impose these new rules on their fans at their games. Okay, you ready for the new rules, Hugh? Here's my question. I'm going to read them to you, and I want to ask a question of everybody. Why the hell were these rules not in place to begin with? Okay.
I didn't know people were going to act stupid.
Okay, so rule number one that they're going to now impose. If a fan throws an object on the field in Orlando City, a PA announcer will make an immediate statement regarding the ramifications of throwing things on the field. Yeah. Okay, rule number two. A fan code of conduct involving players is being created. Just now? Rule number three. The stadium will transition immediately to an all-pour venue. Every drink will be poured into a cup without a lid. No beer bottles or cans will be distributed in the stadium. Well, duh.
But that, I would say initially, if fans didn't act that way, it wasn't an issue. It wasn't an issue until it happened. I mean, most stadiums aren't like that. I've been to a few stadiums where you could actually keep your bottle. But I think that now with people acting a donkey so much that they're starting to transition from that, and this just made it for them, this just solidified it for them. And that's why they decided to do it.
Well, at least take the lid off or take the cap off. I mean, when you got a full bottle of unopened Dasani being
I know
hurled.
At baseball games, like at most baseball games, you get a, like they have that little special thing where it pours the beer for you. Like they, it was an innovation. Like when you put the beer on the thing and it just pours it for you. You never got it in the container that it came in. It always poured it for you. So I mean, I guess they just not implemented this because fans are acting a donkey.
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up, I just remember the beer. You know, the beer vendor coming through beer. You know, and it was always like Hams or something.
When was that, John? When the 70s?
Yeah, in the late 60s and into the 70s, before I could drink, you know, and they popped the cap right there and they would pour it in the cup for you, you know, the beer guy in the stands. And you know, by the way, are there beer vendors, are they kind of gone? I mean, you don't see them as much.
What do you mean, are they gone?
You know, the beer vendors that walk through the stands, you know, high school beer.
They were there last year when I went to the Braves game. I saw them there last year.
I just was wondering. I mean, it seems like a lost art.
You mean the slang beer?
Yeah.
At the game?
Yeah, because it used to be, or was it just less of them now? Because it used to be like it was constant.
John, they sell cotton candy still at the game.
Oh, I know
somebody
they do
running
that.
Around selling cotton candy. There's a guy that carries that. Shout out to the people that actually carry that big old beer tray with them and keep it loaded with beer and walk around the ballpark. Your back has to be very, very strong to do that because that's a lot of beer to be chugging around. They're all iced down and cold and everything. So shout out to you guys. Yeah, but they still do that, John. They still do that.
You know, interesting, though, that Orlando City had to make these rules here about, things like a fan code of conduct. I thought all those places existed. But back to your point here, yeah, anybody that thinks, well, isn't it the Super Bowl where they do the facial recognition of the entire crowd and they look for people that have violated, you know, the people that are, like, on the lam from the law? I think so. They look like for criminals, outstanding warrants and stuff like that.
I know they do it. They do it when you're driving down the street. The police officers had those little things on the back of their car where they can read your license plate and know if you got tickets or not. So yeah, I mean, it's gotten real high tech as far as finding criminals nowadays. So if you got a ticket or a warrant, I suggest you pay it, or they coming to see you.
We have a couple of very interesting interviews coming up for you in the next couple of segments. Travis Schlenk at 8:20, talk about the Hawks, the draft, and more. GM of the Hawks. Next, though, Joel Corey. He's an NFL salary cap expert, NFL contract expert. We're going to talk to him about the Julio contract and about other contracts. See where we stand. We'll do that next. On the Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.